Hallelujah. Just to remind everyone, there won't be a Friday night service because we'll be having our, what are we having? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're having our Christmas stuff. Yeah, we're having our Black Friday and Saturday. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Go to Psalm 19, please. Psalm 19. How many of y'all know the battle's still on? Amen. The battle's not stopped, right? You can certainly see in the world today, there's a battle going on. There's a spiritual battle. What you see in the physical realm is because of what's going on in the spirit realm. There's a battle. There's a battle over souls. There's a battle over kingdoms. There's a battle over your mind. There's a battle over your body. There's a battle over your soul. And this battle that is continuously, we have to be careful that we don't open doors to the enemy. And so many times it's so easily mistaken. You know, the word tells us something powerful. It says, you know, that, in other words, all things are lawful but not helpful. Again, in this area, because we are under a new covenant, the word says pray over your food and so forth, and you know, you can eat anything, and of course there's that area where you can't live on Twinkies, right? You're going to end up dead. Well, actually, you might end up preserved forever, but you're not going to breathe too long. Your lungs might freeze up, get filled with Twinkie. But in this, you know, because things are lawful but not good for us. In other words, so there's that area where we have a fine line in our walk, you know. The word says, come out from among them. It says, don't be unevenly yoked. Tells us about things that bad company corrupts good habits. So these are areas that we must be careful of. You know, the enemy's always going to attack you from your past. And that's all he can attack you from. He attacks you from your past. So he attacks you from your past memories. He attacks you from your past failures, you know, and fears and things to that degree. But in this, we've got to constantly keep ourselves in not only living from the future because of the promises of God, but we've got to be able to stay in the battle, because if we're not in the battle, we become a casualty. If you're not someone who prays, you can't have victory. It's impossible. Going to church is not victory. You know, being married to a spouse that goes to church and you don't is not victory. And one of the things that only through victory can we fulfill the mission that God has sent us into this realm for. And God has sent everyone into this realm to fulfill a mission. And in that mission and purpose, the enemy wants to entangle you in the affairs of the world and prevent you from fulfilling that mission. And if he can't kill you with sin, he'll kill you with food. I mean, he's going to try to kill you. The Bible says he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You know, so many people think that drinking alcohol, well, I don't use drugs. Well, how stupid can you be? Well, I just drink. It's not drugs. Well, it's liquid drugs. How about that? You know, anything. The Bible says that if you're doing something that's killing the temple, God's going to allow you to die. You know, I've known many people that have died of lung cancer from smoking cigarettes. I've known people who have died of liver cancer from drinking so much. All of these areas are what we call unclean. Now, you may not go to hell because of the disease of cancer, amen, but you're not going to fulfill what God has asked you to do, because one of the things the enemy wants to do is wipe you out before you can fulfill it. In Psalm 19, it's very important to grab hold of something here. So God speaks to us in multiple ways. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God in verse 1. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech. So in other words, God is speaking to me and you all the time. And night unto night reveals knowledge. Well, God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. This knowledge is the things of God. This is not knowledge of the things of the world. Listen, going to mechanic school to repair cars is not going to save you. It may save you on the road, but it's not going to eternally save you. being a doctor is not going to save you. It may help others, amen, but it isn't going to save you. Only Christ can save you. So this knowledge that he talks about is things that are eternal knowledge, not temporary knowledge. It says, verse 3, there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. So God is speaking to me and you all the time. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. So these words of God are always going out. You know, we have a song that says, he's not silent, we're just not listening. It says, in them he has set a tabernacle for the sun. This is a dwelling place, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven. He's not talking about the earth now. He's talking about heaven. And its circuit to the other end. And there is nothing hidden from its heat or its presence. God knows all, doesn't he? Now, verse 7. Look at what verse 7 says. It says, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect, doing what? Converting the soul. Now, the law here is a representation which he just expressed. His voice, his words, and how God speaks to me and you. He said, the law of the Lord is perfect. In other words, my voice is perfect. My written words are perfect. They're there to convert your soul. See, without a converted soul, you can't interpret what God is saying. It gets confusing. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than what? Gold. Gold. So there's got to be an exchange. There's got to be an exchange of desire that you and I must manifest. We must put into place. We must practice. Listen, when I was a drug addict, my desire was gold. But the reason why I wanted gold and money was to buy the dope. Now there's an exchange. My desire is no longer the gold or the money. It's no longer the dope. My desire now is to know him more in revelation and knowledge of him, because he's the only fulfillment I have now. Yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there's what? Great reward. How many of y'all want a reward from God? You know, the world will reward you, but it's only a temporary reward. But there's an eternal reward that the Lord gives me and you. It says, look at this, verse 12. Who can understand his ears? What does he say? Lord, you know, I don't even know what the heck I'm doing sometimes. But please cleanse me from what? Secret faults. Things that I do that I don't realize I'm doing, or things that I can't stop doing. Keep back your servant from what? Presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me, then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgressions. In other words, don't let me be scarred. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Again, the law is perfect and converts the soul. The law is the word and his voice, and there is great reward for those who delight in it. Great reward. In Psalm 1, is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Verse 1, everyone say blessed. Yes. Everyone say cursed. Yes. So the opposite of blessed is what? Yes. And the opposite of cursed is? Yes. Blessed is the what? Man who what? Walks not. You know, some people need to underline the word not. In the counsel of what? The ungodly. So is worldly counsel godly or ungodly? Ungodly. Nor stands in the path of what? Sinners. Nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He says, you want to be blessed? Get out of there. He says, but is what? His delight is what? In the law. What's the law? His word and his what? Voice. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he what? Meditates day and night. In other words, he's always putting it into practice. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Listen, when the counsel of the world will promote things that are good, the counsel of the Lord promotes things that are holy, the righteous. See, the counsel of the world promotes man's time. The counsel of the Lord promotes God's time. And when we receive the counsel of the Lord and choose to go according to man's time instead of God's time, this is where we fall into. You cannot prosper. You have opened a door, and the enemy will always come to steal, kill, and destroy, and you will never fulfill what God has set you to do. You won't grow and mature the way you should. It'll take much longer. You'll have to go around the mountain quite a few times till you finally give up and start over. Things don't work in man's time. Just doesn't. Not if you're called to be a Christian. Not if you've accepted the Lord as your Savior. You can't put a round ball into a square opening. You can chip it and try and stuff it in, but it's going to be very painful and it won't work. And if you do finally get it in, it never comes out. In verse 4, but the ungodly are not so. So the ungodly are the ones that reject the counsel of the Lord, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. The ungodly shall not receive the reward. That's what judgment is. Nor the sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall what? Shall perish. Why? Because the wages of sin is what? Death. So again, we're going to delight in his law and in his voice, his words. We're going to accept what the counsel of the Lord is and not what the counsel of man is. That's the difference between people who are lusting and people who are loving. Most people have a lust affair. Oh, it's love at first sight. No, it's lust at first sight. If you can't give that person up to do the will of God, you're out of order. And you can make it. You can justify it. You can reason it. You can play it. You can promote it. But if it's not the will of God, you're going to have a hard time, especially if you're proclaiming that you're a believer and you want God's will to happen in your life. In Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 15. Hallelujah. Would you read it with me? But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my what? Laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will what? Write them. Then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. In other words, there will be a time when he's going to forgive. There'll be a time that you come to repentance. There'll be a time when you get filled with the Spirit of God, and he's going to put his law in your heart and in your mind. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is the carrier of the word. He knows it all. Does everybody get it? So when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, listen, I didn't even read the Bible. And when I was filled with the Holy Spirit after my visitation, I knew the word without reading the word. I knew what was God pleasing and what wasn't pleasing God. Because the Holy Spirit knows the word. And if you're in relationship with the word, with the Holy Spirit, you will know the word. Why? Because it's written in you. You'll know what pleases God and what doesn't please. That's why nobody has an excuse. Nobody. There is no excuse. Amen? He said he'll put law in our hearts and in our minds. That it's directed by the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit guides us to all truth, leads us in truth, convicts us when we rebel against the law of truth. So I want you to look here that when it says the law, it's not only his word and his voice and written word, but is the law of truth because he is the truth. Amen? He is the way, the truth, and the light. In Ezekiel 36. So if we're talking here about the law, the law of truth, right? If we're walking in the Spirit, then we're obeying the law of truth, aren't we? Amen? If we're not walking in the Spirit, then we are obeying, then we become lawlessness. We are without law. And that word law, again, is rejecting voice. That means that we are rejecting the voice, the word, and the counsel of the Lord. In Ezekiel 36, is everybody there? We are rejecting his voice, his word, and his counsel. When we become what? Lawlessness. That means we are without the law of truth. Is everybody okay? You get that? Anybody get it? Good. Ezekiel 36, verse 23. You came here to hear truth, right? You don't need your soul puffed up. You need it converted. Verse 23. I'm not going to ask anyone if you were a heathen because every one of us was in here. Yeah. Amen? None of us was born right. We were all born crooked. Hallelujah. In verse 23, he says, I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. See, what God wants to do is make you a sign and wonder. Because you and I have profaned his name multiple times. In verse 24, and I'll take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land. How many of y'all, every one of us came from another country. Even though we were born here, our families did. But God brought us here into here. He's talking about Israel, and he's talking about the body. Verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all of your idols. Why? What's he going to cleanse you with? The word of God. And I will give you what? Verse 26. And I will give you a what? A new heart, and put a new spirit within you. And I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put what? My spirit within you. And I will cause you to walk in my statutes. And you will keep my judgments and do them. Why? Because you will be filled with the Spirit. His law will be placed within you. You will have a desire to read the word. It will become food to you. You will have a desire to hear his voice. And you'll also have a desire to know his presence. And it's going to cause you to obey counsel. It's going to cause you to obey his word. It's going to cause you to seek his presence. And you will cause the three abidings. You will abide in his presence, his word, through prayer, and in fellowship. He's going to cause us or encourage us to obey the law of truth, the voice of God, spoken and written. In Matthew 7. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7, in verse 22, or 21. Matthew 7 and verse 21. Let's speak this together. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now that's pretty powerful, isn't it? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Wow. So what's going to get you into heaven? If you're doing the will of the Father. He said, many are going to say to me, Lord, Lord. He said, many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice what? So they lived a life without the what? Law of truth. See, they might have started out that way, but they didn't end up that way. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That is one who rebels against the law of truth. In Matthew 13, it's amazing how many people, well, I accepted Jesus 25 years ago. Yeah, but I still hang out in the bars. I still live with a girl or a boy. I still do this. I still do that. Those are all deeds of lawlessness. Those are the ones he's going to say, they're going to say, but Lord, Lord, come on, I believed you for many years. He said, but you never followed me. See, the word believe means to follow. I'm telling you, there's going to be a tremendous awakening, but it'll be too late. That's why we need the awakening now. Matthew 13, verse 40. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. 41. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out all of his kingdom, all things that offend, and those who what? Practice what? Lawlessness. And he will cast them in the furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That is called outer darkness. Those who practice lawlessness. In other words, those who rebel against the law of truth. Matthew 23. Outer darkness. They will be without the presence of God. Verse 25. What's the first word? Woe. Woe. Let me tell you what woe is. Without eternity. He's saying woe to you. Why? Because you're without eternal. You're not eternal anymore. You're without eternity. Woe to you without eternity. Woe. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of exhortation and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and what? Lawlessness. Woe. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adore the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in those days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you witnesses against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your father's guilt. What does he call them? Serpents. Brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Woo! What were they practicing? Lawlessness. Now, this is very powerful, and I'm going to go a little bit further because he's actually talking about Nephilim spirits. He's talking about serpents. He's talking about seeds of the serpent. And he's talking about hybrids that are here right now. We're going to go a little further. Is everybody okay? Verse 34. Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that on you may call all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous what? Abel, to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Assuredly, I say to you, all things will come upon this what? This generation. Again, he's talking about Nephilim spirits, serpent seeds, hybrids that practice or influence individuals to practice lawlessness. Law come against or rebel against the law of truth. In 1 John chapter 3. So you know what? Your fight and my fight is against lawlessness, isn't it? It is a battle. It's a fight against lawlessness. 1 John chapter 3, in verse 4. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Whoever commits sin also commits what? Lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Now, sin represents the presence of evil. So you're being influenced by the presence of evil, and you're committing what they call sin, but it's actually called transgression. Because the act of the influence of the presence of evil is a transgression. It's also known as lawlessness. Because you are not walking in the law of truth. In verse 5. And you know that he was manifested, Jesus was manifested to take away our sins. And in him there is no sin. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the what? devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. It doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. Amen. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Again, this is an area of practicing. This is something that somebody's living this way. So everybody got it? If this is the way you're living, you're either living according to lawlessness or according to the law of truth, one or the other. There's no gray area. There's light, there's dark. There's life, and there is death. And the wages of sin is death. There's only two ways. You're either the race of Christ or the race of Antichrist, one or the other. But I've been a believer. But if you're still doing the things that the devil does, you're considered Antichrist. Because many will come and say, I'm a Christian. Many will come in his name. But to believe is to follow. Amen? Hallelujah. Matthew 24. You know, time's too short to be playing games. Way too short. 24:11. What does it say? Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will what? Grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. Then the end will come. In other words, because people are practicing lawlessness, they're not practicing the law of truth, their hearts will become hardened. Their justifications and the conviction of the Holy Spirit will begin to harden their heart. They're going to reject it. The Holy Spirit will keep going, listen, dude, come on, what are you doing? Eventually, the Holy Spirit will begin to back off and let that person's heart harden and just let them go do what they want to do. They will fall. They will stumble. Their heart will be broke one way or another. They will wish that they never did what they did. They will have regret. Some of them will have bitterness because God didn't do what they wanted them to do. But he's always willing to forgive if that person can come to repentance. See, the fight is against lawlessness. And in this lawlessness, there'll be a hard heart because they are without the law of truth. Love will grow cold. We see love growing cold all over now. You know, they showed, I was watching the news the other night, and they're showing these individuals. They don't really know who they are, but they're just going up to people and knocking them out. Bam! Just knocking them out for no reason. It's just something that they do. Man, they hit this one woman, her head fell off the onto the concrete, bounce, boom, boom. I mean, it's just like no acceptance of conviction, no compassion for another human. See, human beings don't do that to other human beings, but demons do. Demons do. See, because the influence is by a demon, a disembodied spirit, and that person has them in them, multiple of them. The Bible says you and I don't fight flesh and blood, right? The powers of darkness, wickedness, and heavenly places. You're not fighting. In fact, those thoughts that you're fighting are thoughts of lawlessness, which is being influenced by the powers of darkness. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Is everybody there? Now the Spirit expressly says in verse 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Deceiving spirits. These deceiving spirits are known as seductive spirits. Seducing spirits. They promote lust. Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Why? Because they bring their own doctrine and people begin to believe. That's where justification comes into effect. Justification is the doctrine of the demon when a person is practicing lawlessness. Has everybody got it? Well, they just justify. Well, God knows my heart. Yes, but your heart is hardened. You're still doing what you want. Now you're not doing the will of God. Why? Because if it's not God's time, it's not God's will. Our fight is against lawlessness. Many will fall away from the law of truth by deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. These are Nephilim spirits, demon spirits. Many. Let me tell you, the body of Christ, many individuals are falling away. They're falling away in seduction. They're falling away in lust. They are giving up their call to follow the dictates and the desires and lust of their heart. They are letting God go, but they don't believe they are. Because the justification of the doctrines of demons is convincing them that it's okay. See, the line, let me share this something with you. Your walk and my walk is getting tighter. The boundary lines are no longer way out. They are very tight. Very tight. So what God used to allow before, he doesn't anymore. What you and I used to get away with, we can't anymore. Things are getting tighter, closer. And individuals that are not willing to go in those boundaries that God is establishing are falling away. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. They're what? Falling away. You know, there are people that I know that used to come to fellowship and don't even, they're not even involved in fellowship anymore. But yet they call themselves Christians. Are you listening? But the Bible tells about keeping the unity of the Spirit. So if you're not in fellowship, you are not keeping the unity of the Spirit, are you? See, they're doing their own thing because they have an independent spirit. That independent spirit is a demon. It is a seducing, deceptive spirit. They only go to fellowship to show off themselves because they're full of pride when they do show up. You know, Christmas, Easter. You came to hear the truth, right? Hallelujah. Your fight is against lawlessness. You want to maintain the law of truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let's speak this together. Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless what? The falling away comes first, and it's already here. It's been going on now. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who is known as Satan, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness means that there are mysteries. Now listen, there are sins that people don't even see. In other words, there are activities that are against the law of truth that no one even really knows right now. It's been going on. You know, we've been doing a lot of research and finding out many things. And we're going to be putting together some DVDs that are going to be blowing people away. But I'm not going to talk about them tonight. We're just going to hand them out at some time. But you're going to find out that this country was truly not founded the way it said it was founded. Hallelujah. For the mystery of lawlessness, that means without the law of truth, sin, presence of evil, has been going on and unknown in many activities that people don't even know about. And it says, look at this, read 7 with me. For the mystery of lawlessness is what? Already at work. Only he, means the Lord, the Holy Spirit, the body of Christ, who now restrains, will do so until he is taken out of the way. So once you and I are removed from the earth, which the world will probably think aliens came and took us or something. That's what they're going to try. That's what the Vatican will try and promote. But anyways. Yeah, the aliens got them because they were disobedient. That's funny. Why is fire coming on your place and not ours? In verse 8, it says, then the lawless one will be what? Revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to who? The working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. Unrighteous deception, that is mysteries of lawlessness. Among those who perish because they did not receive the law or the love of the truth, that they might be saved. They rejected it. or they did not practice it. They decided to practice without it, and it's called lawlessness, instead of practicing with it. Hallelujah. Woe to them without eternity and to their followers. Ooh. Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Glory. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Now remember, lawlessness is sin and sin is lawlessness, right? In verse 12, would you read it with me? Romans 6, 12. Is everybody there? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its what? Lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to what? Death, or of obedience leading to righteousness. So what are you supposed to do? Present yourself. Present yourself. Present your members to the righteousness of Christ. Abide. Abide and abide. 2 Corinthians 6. Your fight is against what? Lawlessness. See, the enemy wants to get you into a place where you're practicing life without truth. Everybody here knows somebody that's doing it. Everybody. That at one time was practicing it with truth, but then they got bewitched. And now they've gone the wrong way because they have fallen. They're falling away. Let me tell you that falling away is continuous, and it will increase, increase, and increase. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. What does it say? Do not be unevenly yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with what? Lawlessness. What communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever, and what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. If they come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what's unclean, and I'll receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you'll be my sons and daughters, says the Lord. So there's that coming out of lawlessness and staying in righteousness. It says, come out from among them. In Ephesians chapter 5. Fight against lawlessness. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 6. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Let no one what? Deceive you with what? Empty words. These empty words are going to promote what? Lawlessness. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather what? Expose them. Expose them. Let me tell you, if you're not going to expose your own unrighteousness, God will. It's just a matter of time. Everyone in this room knows whether you're pleasing God or not. You know. You know. Everyone in here is without excuse. Everyone here knows whether you're doing the right thing before God or you're not. Whether you're in God's time or your time. Everyone knows. And because we all know, because of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, even though you can justify, you'll either receive a great reward, a warning, or a bad reward. One or the other. Everyone knows. We can't blame it on your neighbor. You can't blame it on your pastor. You can't blame it on your ex-spouse, your boss. You can't blame it on your lack of job. You can't blame it on anything. We're accountable and we're responsible. And nobody's going to stand in your place before God. You will. I'll say verse 11 one more time. And have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. Listen, if you can't do it out and open, something's wrong. Then you know yourself you ain't doing something that's right before God. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, dummy. You who sleep, your eyes shut, caught up in yourself. See, can't you see it all the way through yet? Awake, you who sleep, and arise from the dead. Man, don't you get it? You're a dead person now. And Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And I'll close at chapter 12 in Daniel. Woohoo! We got a change of turn here. We're going to go to Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Ecclesiastes is after Proverbs. That's what the Holy Spirit says. We'll close at Ecclesiastes, not Daniel today. Is everybody there? Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Verse 13, everybody there? You got it. Come on, we're going to all read this together because we are without excuse. Amen? Let's read it. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah, Lord, we thank you for your word. We're honored and blessed. And as we continue to fight against lawlessness, we ask that you continue to empower us. The seeds that is implanted today of righteousness, let it be protected by the blood and let it grow and bear fruit for your glory, that your people would be quickened, strengthened. When the serpent rises his head and then the other demon tries to rise his head to influence us, to reject the law of truth, that we would cut their heads off in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.